Well, here we are in the Gospels with more questions. We talked about questions last week. We have some more here again. And we sort of skipped over another set of questions. That's where Matthew's alluding to that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, who are another group. There's the Herodians, there's Sadducees, there's Philistines. There's lots of groups. There's you know, they say, if you get a bunch of people in a room, you're going to have a bunch of groups. That's just the way we work. And so when we look at the questions that Jesus answers, or at least that are recorded for us here, we need to remember that these are questions that are not the same kind of questions that we might ask, that these questions are, by their nature, sort of mean-spirited and gotcha questions. The idea is to embarrass Jesus in some way, so they'll then have something against him. What's interesting in this case, of course, is that Jesus turns the tables on them. And the second question is one that Jesus asks in return. It was enough to shut them up, as far as we can tell, forever. So what is happening when Jesus answers their question? Because obviously Jesus wasn't obliged to answer their questions. He could have ignored them. And so what Jesus did in this point, at least I think as much as anything, was he answered their question not for them, but for us and for the rest of his followers. Because the question they asked, even though it was intended to embarrass Jesus and get him in a corner that he could then not get himself out of, is a question that all of us, at least at one point or another, or in one way or another, have asked. What's the greatest commandment in the law? Now, we might not have put it that way, but it's not unreasonable for us when we look at all the things in Scripture that we are commanded to do in the Old Testament. No, we're not Old Testament people the same way we're New Testament people, but we see directives and instructions all through Scripture. And the difficulty is when you have too many instructions is knowing what to do. And they're not given in sequence, at least not very often. We just have this big pile of things. And so it's helpful for us to know what the most important one is. In this case, what's the greatest commandment? And this isn't the first or the only time we've ever heard about this. There's a well-known story of someone being asked to recite everything that mattered out of the law while standing on one leg. A Jewish teacher who came up with the same thing. That when it comes right down to it, the greatest command, the most important thing out of all of these, if you have to pick just this one little bit to follow, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then what Jesus says in verse 40 is very important, because it's not just that he plucked one that he thought was most important, and that then we should just sort of take on faith. Not there's anything wrong with that. But he says the reason why these two together are most important is because all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's the pinnacle, if you will, or the summation of everything that we read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Paul talking in Galatians and all sorts of other places, all over the place in Scripture. We see a whole bunch of things that we are told we need to do. Sometimes they're put in the form of requirements. Sometimes it's, you should think about this, you should do these sorts of things. And if we trace them all back, all of them, at their ultimate end, come back to loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, or mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. If you needed a mission statement, and I remember when mission statements were all the rage. Started out in the corporate world, and then they made it into the educational world. And you can make a lot of jokes about mission statements, and there are lots of really bad ones out there. But what a good mission statement does is it gives you a grid. It gives you a set of parameters or something, or whatever image you like to use, that lets you match up what you're doing against where you're trying to end up. A good mission statement is such that you can look at whatever it is you're doing, if it's a corporate one, what are you doing today? Does it move the mission forward or not? And if it doesn't, maybe you should be doing something else. And it's the same thing here. What Jesus has given us and reminding us of these commands or the greatest things we need to do is a way for us to very significantly run our lives. We can look at every activity we do from this perspective. When we're driving, when we're talking to people, when we're deciding where to spend our time, where to spend our money, what to do with an evening, does what we do demonstrate in some way that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves? Now, it's not that we have to do this with every action, because most of them are pretty straightforward. Being a decent citizen takes care of, it fits well into there. Being kind fits into there. But there are some times when we're trying to decide what is it that we do next that we need a little bit of assistance. And this is one of the places we can go. If we're wondering about a coworker, a friend, a family member who is engaged in some behavior that we don't like, and we're wondering, should we say something about this? Should we confront them? Well, ask yourself, would that action fit in here? Would going to this person and talking to them about it, about whatever it might be, would it demonstrate that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor, in this case them, as ourselves? If they're engaged in self-destructive behavior, they're living in the reality of an addiction that's snuck up on them, they're not aware of, then yes, I think it fits in really well there. If we're going to go and tell them that their political ideas are dumb because they're not ours, I'm not so sure it's as easy a fit. If we're going to tell our friends in Calgary to stop cheering for the Stampeders because that's foolish, not in the spirit of just enjoying a football game, but because we actually think they're wrong, I think we've missed the point. How does that fit these two things? It doesn't. That's not a demonstration of loving God or them. It's just taking some of our own interests, our own prejudices, and projecting them on other people. What this passage of Scripture does is it tells us that we've got a rubric, as my kids discovered in school, a way of matching up our behavior with where we want to go and saying, does it fit? Over and over again, Jesus has told us that he came here to teach us things, and when he left, he wasn't going to leave us alone just to figure it out on our own. Talked about the Holy Spirit would be here to provide guidance, which has been happening ever since. But also, in the words that he said, they weren't just for those people, they're for us as well. And I'm glad that this particular Pharisee asked Jesus this question, even if he did it for a less than helpful reason, and even if he ended up getting Pharisees shut up forever because of Jesus' clever answer to a question that they couldn't answer. Because this is a place that I do go, and sometimes I actually remind myself about these couple of verses and say, will my behavior fit in there? Am I doing this, whatever it is, because I love God and I love the people around me, or just because it's convenient for me? Just because it's comfortable for me? And when I actually look at it, my comfort comes at the expense of someone else. This response to a question helps me figure out what it is that I need to do when I'm struggling with what I need to do. At this point in our relationship with God, we don't have these struggles on a daily basis, but these are for those times when we're not sure. If we're not sure what to do, we ask guidance, we ask for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, but we also come here and we ask ourselves, does this thing that I think needs to be done or that I want to do, would somebody else looking at it see that this is a demonstration of how I love God and how I love my neighbor? And the answer to that question will help us a lot in what it is that we need to do next. Amen.